He turned, smiling. The light about him moved with him as he moved. He lifted slightly into the air, enough to take the weight from his feet, and floated to the center of the sorcerer's sand, his arms extended, the light beginning to swirl slowly around him. He faced toward Richard. "Thank you, my son, for coming back, for helping Father Rawl. You will be rewarded for helping me, as I promised. You have delivered to me that which is mine. I can feel it. It's marvelous. I can feel the power." Richard stood without emotion, watching. Zed sank to the ground again. What had Richard done? How could he? How could he give Rawl the magic of Ordon? Allow him to rule the world? He had been touched by a confessor. That was how. It wasn't his fault. He had no control. It was over. Zed forgave him. Had he the power, Zed would have made Wizard's life fire and put his life into it. But he had no power here. No power in the face of Master Rawl. He felt very tired, very old. He knew he would not get the chance to get much older. Darkin Rawl would see to that. But it was not himself he grieved for. It was everyone else. Bathed in the golden light, Darkin Rawl slowly rose a few feet off the ground, above the white sorcerer's sand, a satisfied grin on his face, his blue eyes sparkling. His head rolled back in rapture, his eyes closing, his blonde hair hanging away. Sparkles of light rotated about him. The white sand turned a golden color, continued turning, darker, to a burnt brown. The light around Rawl darkened to amber. His head came down, his eyes coming open, his smile fading. The sorcerer's sand crisped to black. The ground trembled. A smile spread on Richard's face. He went and retrieved the Sword of Truth, the anger of the sword's magic flooding into his gray eyes. Zed came to his feet. The light around Darkin Rawl turned an ugly brown. His blue eyes went wide. A wailing roar came from the ground. The black sand under Rawl's feet split open. Violet light shot up, engulfing him. He twisted in it, screaming out. Richard, his chest heaving, stood transfixed, watching. The invisible prison around Zed shattered. Chase's hand abruptly completed its journey to his sword, yanking it free as he flew toward Kaelin. The two guards released her arms and met him halfway. Michael's face paled. He stared in shock as Chase cut down one of the men. Kaelin drove her elbow into Michael's gut and grabbed the knife, twisting it from his hand. Disarmed, Michael scanned about with quick jerks of his head, his eyes wild, and raced off down a path between the trees. Chase and the second guard tumbled to the ground, both grunting with lethal intent as they rolled over each other, trying to gain advantage. The guard cried out. Chase came to his feet. The other didn't. He gave a glance at Darkin Rawl and ran off down the path Michael had taken. Zed saw a glimpse of Kaelin's dress as she disappeared in another direction. Zed stood as Richard did, spellbound, their stares riveted to Darkin Rawl as he struggled, trapped in the grip of the magic of Ordon. Violet light and dark shadows held him tight in the air above the black hole.
"Richard!" Rawl shrieked. "What have you done?"
The Seeker stepped closer to the circle of black sand. "Why, only what you wanted, Master Rawl," he said innocently. "I have told you what you wanted to hear."
"But it was the truth. You told the words true."
Richard nodded. "Yes, I did. I just didn't tell you all of them. I left out most of the paragraph at the end. Be cautioned. The effect of the boxes is fluid. It shifts with the intent. To be master of all, so you may help others, shift one box to the right. To be master of all, so all will do your bidding, shift one box to the left. Rule as you have chosen. Your information was correct. The box with two shadows was the one that would kill you.
But you had to do as I said. You were touched by a confessor's power.
Richard smiled. Was I? Wizard's first rule. It's the first rule because it's the most important. You should have guarded better against it. That's the price of arrogance. I accept my vulnerability. You don't. I didn't like the choices you gave me. I couldn't win by your rules, so I made some new ones. The book said you had to confirm the truth with the use of a confessor. You only thought you had done that. Wizard's first rule. You believed because you wanted to. I have beaten you.
It can't be. It's not possible. How could you have known how to do this?
You taught me. Nothing, including magic, is one-dimensional. Look at the whole, you said. Nothing that exists has only one side. Look at the whole. Richard shook his head slowly. You should never have taught me something you didn't want me to know. Once you teach me something, it's mine to use. Thank you, Father Rall, for teaching me the most important thing I will ever learn. How to love Kaelin. Darkin Rall's face distorted in pain. He laughed and screamed. Richard looked around. Where's Kaelin? Zed pointed a long finger.
I saw her leave that way.
Richard slid the sword back into its scabbard as he turned his eyes to the figure held in the shadows and light. Goodbye, Father Rall. I trust you will die without my watching it.
Richard!
Rall shrieked as he watched the Seeker stride away.
Richard!
Zed stood alone with Doc and Rall. He watched as transparent fingers of smoke entwined around the white robes, pinning Rall's arms to his sides. Zed stepped closer, the blue eyes coming to the old wizard.
Zedkus, Zul, Zoranda, you have won this much of it, but maybe not all of it.
Arrogant to the end?
Rall smiled.
Tell me who he is.
Zed shrugged.
The Seeker.
Rall laughed, struggling in pain. The blue-eyed gaze came back to Zed.
He is your son, isn't he? I have at least been defeated by wizard blood. You are his father.
Zed shook his head slowly, a wistful smile coming to his lips.
He is my grandson.
You lie. Why put a web around him to hide his father's identity if it is not you?
I put a web around him because I did not want him to know who the blue-eyed bastard was who raped his mother and gave him life.
Darkin Rawl's eyes widened.
Your daughter was killed. My father told me so.
A little trick to keep her safe.
Zed's expression darkened.
Though you didn't know who she was, you hurt her. Without intending it, you also gave her happiness. You gave her Richard.
I am his father,
Rall whispered.
When you raped my daughter, I knew I couldn't harm you, and my first thought was to comfort her, protect her, so I took her to Westland. She met a man widowed with a baby son. George Cypher was a good, kind man. I was proud to have him as my daughter's husband. George loved Richard as his own, but he knew the truth, except about me, who I was, that was hidden by the web. I could have hated Richard for his father's crimes, but chose instead to love him for himself. He turned out to be quite a man, don't you think?
You have been defeated by the heir you wanted, an heir born with a gift. That is rare. Richard is the true Seeker. From the royal blood, he has the rage of the anger, the capacity for violence, but it's balanced with Zoranda blood. The capacity for for love, understanding, and forgiveness.
Darkin Rawl shimmered in the shadows of the magic of Orden. He twisted in pain as he became transparent as smoke.
To think, Zorahander and Rawl bloodlines joined in one. Yet he is still my heir.
In a way, he managed. I have won.
Zed shook his head.
You have lost in more ways than one.
Vapor, smoke, shadows, and light spun in a roar. The ground shook violently. The sorcerer's sand, now black as pitch, was sucked into the vortex. The whole of it rotated over the abyss, the sounds of the world of life and the underworld mixing in a terrible howl. Darkin Rawl's voice came hollow, empty, dead.
Read the prophecies, old man. Things may not yet be as final as you think. I am an agent.
A point of blinding light ignited in the center of the spinning mass. Zed shielded his eyes. Beams of white hot light shot upward through the windows overhead into the sky and downward into the blackness of the abyss. There was a piercing shriek. The air shimmered with the heat, light, and sound. A flash lit everything around to white, and then there was silence. Cautiously, Zed took his hands from his eyes. It was gone. The whole of it was gone. Winter sunlight warmed the ground where only moments before the black abyss had been. The sorcerer's sand was gone. The bare circle of earth it had covered was whole. The rupture between worlds healed. At least, Zed hoped it was. The wizard felt his power seeping back into his bones. The ones who had drawn the spell against him were gone. The effect of the spell was gone. He stood before the altar, spread his arms into the sunlight, and closed his eyes.
I recall the webs. I am who I was before. Zedekus Zul Zorander, wizard of the First Order. Let all know it once more, and the rest, too.
The people of Dahara were linked to the House of Rawl, a link forged in magic long ago by those who would rule, a link that chained the people of Dahara to the House of Rawl and the House of Rawl to them. With the webs removed, that link to the gift would be felt by many, and let them know that Richard was now Master Rawl. Zed would have to tell Richard that Darkin Rawl was his father, but not this day. He would have to find the words first. There were many things to tell him, but not this day. Richard found her, kneeling before one of the deserted devotion pools. The gag was still tied around her neck, left there when she had pulled it from her mouth. Kaelin hunched over in tears, her long hair cascading off her shoulders as she leaned forward, the knife gripped in both fists, the point held to her chest. Her shoulders shook with her sobs. Richard came to a stop next to the folds of her white dress.
Don't do that, he whispered.
I must. I love you.
Kaelin gave a little moan.
Oh, I have touched you with my power. I would rather die than be your mistress. It is the only way to release you.
She gave a tearful shudder.
I would like you to give me a kiss, and then leave me. I don't want you to see it.
No. Her eyes snapped up to his.
What did you say?
She whispered. Richard put his fists on his hips. I said, no. I'm not going to kiss you with those silly things painted on your face. They nearly scared the life out of me. Her green eyes stared in disbelief.
You can deny me nothing once I have touched you with my power.
Richard squatted down close to her. He untied the gag from her neck.
Well, then, you have ordered me to kiss you.
He dunked the cloth in the water. And I told you I won't do it with this thing painted on your face. He began wiping the lightning bolts from her skin. So, I guess the only solution is to get rid of it. She knelt, frozen, while he cleaned the red off her face. Richard looked into her wide eyes when he finished. He tossed the rag aside and knelt in front of her, slipping his arms around her waist.
Richard, I touched you with the magic. I felt it, I heard it, I saw it. How could the power not have taken you?
Because I was protected.
Protected? How?
By my love for you. I realized I love you more than life itself, and I would rather give myself into your power than live without you. Nothing the magic could do to me could be worse than living without you. I was willing to give it all over to you. I offered the power everything I have, all of my love for you. Once I realized how much I loved you, was willing to be yours on any terms, I understood that there could be nothing for the magic to harm. I'm already devoted to you. It didn't need to change me. I was protected because I have already been touched by your love. I had utter faith that you felt the same and had no fear of what would happen. Had I had any doubt, the magic would have latched on to that crack and taken me. But I had no doubt. My love for you is smooth and seamless. My love for you protected me from the magic. She gave him her special smile.
You felt that way? You had no doubt?
Richard smiled back. Well, for a moment, when I saw those lightning bolts on your face, I have to admit I was worried. I didn't know what they were, what they meant. I pulled the sword, trying to gain time to think. But then I realized it didn't matter. You were still Kaelin, and I still loved you, no matter what. I wanted you to touch me more than anything, to prove my love and devotion for you. But I had to put on an act for Darkin Rawl's benefit. These symbols mean that I, too, gave everything over to you, she whispered. Kaelin circled her arms around his neck, kissing him. They knelt on the tiles in front of the devotion pool, pressed against one another. Richard kissed her soft lips the way he had dreamed a thousand times of kissing her. He kissed her until he was dizzy, and then kissed her some more, not caring that bewildered people who passed watched them. Richard had no idea how long they knelt there embracing, but decided at last that they had better go find Zed. With her arm around his waist, her head leaning against him, they walked back to the Garden of Life, kissing once more before they went through the doors. Zed stood with one hand on a bony hip, the other stroking his chin as he inspected the altar and other things behind it. Kaelin fell to her knees before him, taking his hands in hers, kissing them.
Zed, he loves me. He figured out how to make it work with the magic. There was a way, and he found it.
Zed frowned down at her.
Well, it took him long enough.
Kaelin came to her feet.
You knew how to do it?
Zed looked indignant at the question.
I'm a wizard of the First Order. Of course I knew.
And you never told us?
Zed smiled.
Had I told you, dear one, it wouldn't have worked. The foreknowledge would have interjected a grain of doubt. That single grain would have caused failure. To be the true love of a confessor, there must be total commitment to get past the magic. Without the willingness to give himself over to you selflessly, despite the knowledge of the consequence, it wouldn't work.
You seem to know a lot about it,
Kaelin frowned.
I have never heard of it before. How often does this happen?
Zed rubbed his chin in thought, looking up at the windows.
Well, only once before that I know of.
His eyes rested on the two of them.
But you can tell no one, just as I wasn't able to tell you. No matter how much pain it may cause, no matter the consequences, you can never tell. If even one other knows, it could be passed on, destroying forever the chance for others. It's one of the ironies of magic. You have to accept failure before you can have success. It is also one of the burdens of magic. You must accept the results, even the death of others, to protect the hope for the future. Selfishness costs the lives, the chances of those yet unborn.
Kaelin nodded.
I promise.
Me too, Richard said.
Zed, is it over? With Darkenrall, I mean, is he dead?
Zed gave Richard a look he found unexpectedly uncomfortable.
Darkenrall is dead.
Zed put a thin hand on Richard's shoulder, his bony fingers gripping tightly.
You have gotten it right, Richard. All of it. You scared the wits out of me. I have never seen a performance to match it.
Richard grinned in pride.
Just a little trick.
Zed nodded, his white hair sticking out in every direction, looking wild.
More than a trick, my boy. More than little.
They all turned when they heard the sound of someone approaching. Chase came dragging Michael in by the scruff of his neck. His dirty white trousers and shirt spoke that he had not come willingly. Chase gave him a shove, forcing him in front of Richard. Richard's mood darkened at seeing his brother. Michael's defiant eyes came up to meet Richard's gaze.
I'll not be treated in this manner, little brother.
His voice was as condescending as it had ever been.
You don't know what you've interfered with, what I was trying to do, how I would have helped everyone by uniting Westland and Dahara. You have doomed the people to needless suffering that Darkenrall could have spared. You are a fool.
Richard thought about all he had been through, about all that Zed and Chase and Kaelin had been through. He thought about all those he knew who had died at Rall's hands, and the countless number of dead he would never know of. The suffering, the cruelty, the brutality. He thought of all the tyrants allowed to flourish under Darkenrall, all the way from Darkenrall himself down to Princess Violet. He thought of those he had killed. He felt pain and grief at the things he had had to do. The metallic ring of the Sword of Truth filled the air. Michael's eyes went wide at seeing its point at his throat. Richard leaned a little closer to his brother. Give me the loser's salute, Michael. Michael's face turned crimson.
I would rather die first.
Richard nodded as he straightened. He looked deep into his brother's eyes as he took the sword away. Richard pulled the anger back, tried to make the sword turn white. It would not. He slid the blade home into its scabbard. I'm glad to see we have one thing in common, Michael. We would both die for what we believe in. He took his gaze from Michael to the big crescent battle axe hanging at Chase's belt. His eyes came up to the Boundary Warden's grim face. Execute him, he whispered. Take his head to his personal guard. Tell them he was executed by my order for treason against Westland. Westland will have to find a new first counselor. Chase's big fist grabbed Michael by the hair. Michael screamed out, falling to his knees, giving the loser's salute.
Richard! Please! I'm your brother! Don't do this! Don't let him kill me! I'm sorry! Forgive me! I was wrong! Please, Richard, forgive me!
Richard stared down at his brother, who was on his knees before him, his hands together, imploring. Richard held out the Aegil in his fist, feeling the pain it gave him, tolerating it, remembering it, the visions flashing through his mind. Darkenrall told you what he was going to do to me. You knew. You knew what was going to happen to me, and you were indifferent because it brought you personal gain. Michael, I forgive everything you have done against me. Michael sagged in relief. The Seeker stiffened. But I cannot forgive what you have done against others. Others have forfeited their lives because of the things you have done. It is for those crimes that you are to be executed, not the ones against me. Michael screamed and cried as Chase dragged him away. Richard watched in pain, shaking, as his brother was taken to his execution. Zed placed his hand over Richard's on the Aegil.
Let it go, Richard.
Richard's thoughts masked the pain it was giving him. He looked to Zed, standing before him with his bony, leathery hand over his, saw things in his friend's eyes he had never seen before, a shared understanding of the pain. He released the Aegil. Kalin's eyes went to it as it fell against his chest.
Richard, do you have to keep that?
For now I do. It was a promise I made to one who I killed, one who helped teach me how much I love you. Dark and Rawl thought this would defeat me. Instead, it taught me how to defeat him. If I discard it now, I would be denying what is inside me, what I am. Kalin put her hand on his arm.
Right now I don't understand, but someday I hope I will.
Richard looked around the Garden of Life, thinking about Darkin Rawl's death and about his father's death. He had seen justice done. He grieved a moment when his memories touched his father, but then the pain lifted as he realized that he had completed the task his father had given him. Richard had remembered every word of the secret book perfectly. His duty was done. His father could rest in peace. Zed straightened his robes with a huff.
Bags! A place this big must have something to eat, don't you suppose?
Richard grinned, put one arm around each of them as he led them out of the Garden of Life. He took them to a dining hall he remembered. People sat at tables as if nothing had changed. The three of them found a table in the corner. Servers brought plates of rice, vegetables, brown bread, cheese, and bowls of steaming spice soup. The surprised but smiling servers kept bringing more as Zed resolutely emptied the plates of food. Richard tried the cheese and to his surprise found it had a sickening flavor. He threw it back on the table as he made a sour face.
"What's the matter?" Zed asked. That has to be the worst tasting cheese I've ever eaten.
Zed sniffed it and took a bite.
Nothing wrong with the cheese, my boy.
Fine, then you eat it. Zed was only too happy to comply. Richard and Kalin ate spice soup and brown bread and smiled as they watched their old friend eat. Zed had his fill at last, and they resumed their journey out of the people's palace. As they strolled through the halls, the bells tolled in a single, long peal, calling people to the devotion. Kalin watched with a frown as everyone gathered at the squares, bowing to the center, chanting. Since Richard had changed the words in his devotion, he no longer felt the pull, the nervous need to join the people. They passed a number of squares as they continued on, each filled with people chanting. Richard wondered if he should do something about it, stop them somehow, but decided at last he had already done the most important part. The three emerged from the cavernous halls out into the winter sunlight. The hillside of steps cascaded down before them to the huge expanse of courtyard. The three paused at the brink. Richard gasped when he saw the numbers gathered there. Spread out before them were thousands of men, standing tall in rank upon rank. At the head, at the base of the steps, stood Michael's personal guard, formerly known as the Home Guard, before Michael took that name from them. Their mail, shields, and yellow banners shone brightly in the sun. Behind them, nearly 1,000 men of the Westland Army. Behind them, many more of the Dharan forces. Chase stood before them all, his arms folded, looking up the steps. Next to him, planted in the ground, was a pole with Michael's head atop it. Richard stood, stunned by the silence. If a man in the back, a half mile away, had coughed, he would have heard it. Zed's hand on his back started him down the steps. It felt a little too much like a push. Kalin took his arm, giving it a squeeze, and held herself tall as they descended the series of steps and expansive landings. Chase watched Richard's eyes as he came. Richard saw Rachel beside him, clutching one arm around his leg, holding Sarah in the other hand. Sharing the grip with the doll was Sidon's hand. Sidon saw Kaelin and broke from the hand, running to meet her. Kaelin laughed and scooped him up in her arms. He grinned at Richard and jabbered something Richard didn't understand before throwing his arms around Kaelin's neck. After she hugged him and whispered to him, she put him down, holding his hand tightly. The captain of the Home Guard stepped forward.
The Home Guard stands ready to swear loyalty to you, Richard.
The commander of the Westland Army stepped up next to the captain.
As does the Westland Army.
A Dharan officer came forward.
As do the Dharan forces.
Richard stared numbly at them, blinking. He felt the anger heat in him.
No one's swearing loyalty to anyone, least of all me. I'm a woods guide, nothing more. Get that through your heads right now. A woods guide.
Richard gazed out over the sea of heads. All eyes were on him. He glanced over to Michael's gory head stuck on the pole. He closed his eyes a moment, then turned to some men of the Home Guard and pointed to the head.
Bury that thing with the rest of him.
No one moved.
Right now!
They jumped and made for the head. Richard returned his gaze to the Dharan officer standing before him. Everyone waited.
Send word. All hostilities are ended. The war is ended. See to it that all forces are recalled to their homelands. All armies of occupation are withdrawn. I expect every man who has committed crimes against defenseless people, whether he be foot soldier or general, to be put on trial, and if found guilty, punished according to the law. The Dharan forces are to help get food to the people who would otherwise starve over the winter. Fire is no longer outlawed. If any forces you encounter don't follow these orders, you will have to deal with them.
Richard pointed to the commander of the Westland Army.
Take your forces and help him. Together, you will be too strong to ignore.
The two officers stared. Richard leaned closer.
It won't get done if you don't get to it.
Both men put a fist over their hearts in salute, giving a bow. The Dharan officer's eyes came up to Richard's. His fist was still over his heart.
By your command, Master Rall.
Richard stared in surprise, then dismissed it. The man, he decided, must just be used to saying Master Rall. Richard noticed a guard to the side. He recognized the man. He was the captain of the guard at the gate when Richard had left the people's palace before. The one who had offered him a horse and warned him about the dragon. Richard motioned him to come forward. The man came and stood stiffly at attention, looking a little worried.
I have a job for you.
The man waited in silence.
I think you would be good at getting it done. I want you to collect all the moored Sith, every last one.
Yes, sir.
He looked a little pale. They will be executed before sunset.
No, I don't want them executed.
The man blinked in confusion.
What am I to do with them?
You are to destroy their Aegils, every last one. I don't ever want to see an Aegil again.
He held up the one at his neck.
Except this one. Then you are to find them new clothes. Burn every stitch of moored Sith clothes. They are to be treated with kindness and respect.
The man's eyes went wide.
Kindness, he whispered. And respect.
That's what I said. They are to be given jobs helping people. They are to be taught to treat people in the same way they are treated, with kindness and respect. I don't know how you are to do that. You'll just have to figure it out yourself. You look like a bright fellow. All right?
He frowned.
And what if they refuse to change?
Richard glared at the man. Tell them that if they choose to stay on the same path, instead of taking another, then they will find the seeker with the white sword at the end of the road. The guard smiled, put his fist to his heart in salute, and gave a smart bow. Zed leaned forward.
Richard, the Aegil are magic. They can't simply be destroyed.
Then help him, Zed. Help him destroy them, or lock them away or something, all right?
I don't want anyone to ever be hurt by an Aegil again.
Zed gave a little smile and nod.
I'd be glad to help with that, my boy.
Zed hesitated, stroking his chin with a long finger, and then spoke softly.
Richard, do you really think this is going to work? Calling the forces home? Having the Westland Army help them?
Probably not. But you can never tell about your first rule, and it should gain time until we can get everyone home again, and you can put the boundary back up. Then we'll be safe once more. Then we'll be finished with the magic. A roar came from the sky. Richard looked up to see Scarlet circling. The red dragon spiraled down through the crisp air. Men fell back, yelling and scattering as they saw that she was going to land at the base of the steps. Scarlet fluttered to a landing in front of Richard, Kalin, Zed, Chase, and the two children.
Richard! Richard!
Scarlet called out, hopping from one foot to another, her wings held out, quivering in excitement. Her huge red head swept down to him.
My egg hatched! It's a beautiful little dragon, just as you said it would be. I want you to come see it. It's so strong, I bet it flies within a month.
Scarlet seemed suddenly to notice all the men. Her head scanned about, surveying them. Her big yellow eyes blinked. Her head swept down to Richard.
Are we having trouble here? Do we need some dragon fire?
Richard grinned. No, everything is fine.
Well then, climb up and I'll take you to see the little one.
Richard put his arm around Kalin's waist. If you'll take Kalin too, I would love to come. Scarlet eyed Kalin up and down.
If she is with you, she is welcome.
Richard,
Kalin said,
what about Sidon? Weslin and Savadlin will be worried sick over him.
Her green eyes gazed deep into his. She leaned closer and whispered,
and we have unfinished business in the spirit house. I believe there is still an apple there we have yet to finish.
Her arm tightened around his waist, and a little twist of a smile came to her lips. The shape of the smile caught his breath in his throat. With difficulty, Richard tore his eyes from her and looked up at Scarlet.
This little one was stolen from the Mud People when you took Darkin Rall there. His mother will be as anxious to have him back as you were to have your young one returned. After we see your little dragon, could you take us there?
Scarlet's big eye peered down at Sidon.
Well, I guess I can understand his mother's worry. Done. Climb up.
Zed stepped forward, his hands on his hips, his voice incredulous.
You would let a man fly upon you? A red dragon? You would take him where he wishes to go?
Scarlet puffed smoke at the wizard, forcing him to take a step back.
A man? No, this is the Seeker. He commands me. I would fly this one to the underworld and back.
Richard gripped the spines and climbed up onto Scarlet's shoulders as she lowered herself for him. Kalin handed Sidon up. Richard put him in his lap and took Kalin's hand as she swung her leg over Scarlet behind him. She put her arms around his waist, her hands against his chest and her head against his shoulder, squeezing tightly. Richard leaned a little toward Zed.
Take care, my friend.
He gave his old friend a big smile. The Birdman will be happy to learn I have finally decided to take a Mud Woman as my wife. Where will I find you? Zed reached up with a thin arm, put a hand on Richard's ankle, giving it a pat.
I will be in Adendrill. Come to me when you are ready.
Richard gave the wizard his sternest frown, leaning down even more.
And then we are going to have a talk, a long talk.
Zed nodded with a smile.
Yes, I expect we will.
Richard smiled at Rachel, gave her and Chase a wave, then gave a pat to one of Scarlet's scales.
To the sky, my red friend!
Scarlet gave a roar of flame as she took to the air, Richard's dreams and joy lifting with her. Zed stood watching the dragon shrinking in the sky, keeping his worries to himself. Chase stroked Rachel's hair and then folded his arms as he lifted an eyebrow to the wizard.
Gives a lot of orders for a woods guide.
Zed laughed.
That he does.
A little bald-headed man came running down the hill of steps, a hand held up, beckoning.
Wizard Zorander! Wizard Zorander!
He finally came to a panting halt in front of him. Wizard Zorander!
What is it?
Zed asked with a frown. He struggled to catch his breath.
Wizard Zorander, there's trouble.
What sort of trouble, and who are you?
He leaned closer, conspiratorially, lowering his voice.
I am the headmaster of the crypt staff. There's trouble.
His beady eyes darted about.
Trouble in the crypt.
What crypt?
The man's eyes looked surprised at the question. Why, the crypt? Apanis Rall. Master Rall's grandfather, of course. Zed's brow wrinkled.
And what's the trouble?
The headmaster put his fingers nervously to his lips.
I didn't see it myself, Wizard Zorander, but my people would never lie. Never. They told me, and they wouldn't lie.
What is it?
Zed bellowed.
What's the trouble?
His eyes darted about again, his voice lowered to a whisper.
The walls, Wizard Zorander. The walls.
Zed gritted his teeth.
What about the walls?
He looked up at the wizard, his eyes wide.
They are melting, Wizard Zorander. The walls in the crypt are melting.
Zed straightened and glared at the man.
Bags! You have white stone on hand? White stone from the Quarry of the Prophets?
The man nodded vigorously.
Of course.
Zed reached into his robes, pulling out a small pouch.
Seal the opening to the tomb with white stone from the Quarry of the Prophets.
Seal it shut, he gasped.
Yes, seal it shut, or the entire palace will melt.
He handed the man the pouch.
Mix this magic dust with the mortar. It must be done before the sun sets. Understand? Sealed shut before the sun sets.
The man nodded, snatched the pouch from Zed's hand, and ran back up the steps as fast as his short legs would take him. Another man, taller, with his hands in the opposite sleeves of his gold-trimmed white robes, passed him as he came down. Chase glared at Zed, poking a big finger at the wizard's chest.
Panis Rall? Master Rall's grandfather?
Zed cleared his throat.
Yes, well, we will have to have a talk.
The man in the white robes approached.
Wizard Zorander, is Master Rall about? There are matters to be discussed.
Zed peered up at the dragon disappearing in the sky.
Master Rall will be away for a time.
But he will return?
Yes.
Zed looked back to the man's waiting face.
Yes, he will return. You will just have to carry on until then.
The man shrugged.
We are used to that here at the People's Palace, waiting for the master to return.
He turned and started off, but stopped when Zed called him back.
I'm hungry. Is there anywhere to get something to eat around here?
The man smiled and held his arm out to the palace entrance.
Of course, Wizard Zorander. Allow me to show you a dining hall.
How about it, Chase? Care for some lunch before I'm on my way?
The boundary warden looked down at Rachel.
Lunch?
She grinned and nodded in earnest.
All right, Zed. And where is it you're going?
Zed shifted his robes.
To see Addie?
Chase lifted an eyebrow.
A little rest and relaxation?
He grinned. Zed couldn't help smiling a little.
That, and I must take her to Adendrill, to the Wizard's Keep. We have a lot of reading to do.
Why would you want to take Addie to Adendrill, to the Wizard's Keep, to read?
Zed gave the boundary warden a sidelong glance.
Because she knows more about the underworld than anyone alive.